Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came. In Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Come on, let's thank God for the Word today. Come on, thank God for the Word today. Amen. Well, last week, if you weren't with us, go to our website, download the service. But I really believe it's the most important teaching I could give you as we go into 2025. Because I want you to thrive in 2025. And so we're talking about the most important thing. I challenged you last weekend by asking you here in our online congregation all over the world, is I asked you, what's the most important thing to you? And, you know, a lot of us have different things that might be the most important, but then I shared with you the most important thing, that as a Christian, once you get born again, and once you get Spirit-filled and stay filled daily, the most important thing is to learn how to listen to the voice of God. Learn how to listen to the voice of God. I agree with Kenneth E. Hagin. He's in heaven. But he used to say the most important thing for a Christian to learn is to learn how to be quiet, still, solitude, and hear the voice of God. Now, the reason I'm teaching on this, because I want next year to be better than this year for all of us. And here's what I know. I've been a Christian for a long time, and people who know how to listen to God have less regrets. People who know how to listen to God have less regrets. People who know how to listen to God make less mistakes. People who know how to listen to God make less dumb decisions. People who know how to listen to God make better choices. And someone said, we make the choices and the choices make us. So that's the reason that I'm teaching on this. And the villain is missing God, listening to the wrong voices. The villain is being too busy. Christians today are too busy. And when you're too busy, what's wrong with that, Pastor? When you're too busy, you have the wrong focus. When you're too busy, you have the wrong focus. When you're too busy, you get fatigued easily. When you're too busy, you live life frustrated, agitated, quick to be angry. When I'm too busy and I don't know how to slow down, get still and alone with God, solitude. When I'm too busy, I get fatigued. I get frustrated. I have the wrong focus. I have the wrong perspective. I'm looking at the wrong thing when I'm too busy. When I'm too busy, my emotions are out of control. Can I have a weak amen at least? I know in my own life, when I'm too busy, it always shows up. Pastor Kim always knows when I'm too busy. Because I'm easily agitated, irritated. When I'm too busy, I have the wrong focus. I'm looking at the wrong thing. I'm focusing on the negative instead of the positive. I'm focusing on what I've lost instead of what I have. When I'm too busy, I miss God. When I'm too busy, I'm not in the rhythm of God's grace. You do know there's a rhythm of grace. In Matthew 11, 28 and 29, it says, everybody who's burnt out, everybody who's weary, everybody who's bored with religion, Jesus says, come to me and learn of me, I am of a low heart. I'm of humility. It takes humility to listen to the voice of God. It takes humility. It takes an open mind. It takes slowing down. It takes stillness and solitude to learn to listen to God. We're way too busy. So I challenged you last weekend, those of you that were here in online campus, that just do one thing. Just for the first hour of the day, don't go to your computer or your iPad or your iPhone. Don't go to look at your emails or your Facebook or TikTok. I'm teed off at TikTok. TikTok, you know, all of those things, just eliminate them. You know, I think one of the keys to hearing and listening to the voice of God is through elimination. I told you last week that stillness and solitude is fasting the voices around you. There's way too many voices. Now, you know, we're using technology at church, at this church. You know that, right? We're one of the most technological churches that I know in the Midwest. Seriously, they're coming to us to find out how we're doing all that we do. It's good when you use it for God, but it's bad when you don't. I mean, think about years ago when you didn't have all these distractions. We said it was going to help us having all this access to the informational highway, to social media, to an iPhone, to an iWatch, Apple Watch. We said it's going to help us. I think it hinders us sometimes more than it helps us. I think those notifications are distractions. So I have a Garmin watch that I use to work out in. So you know what? I was having my quiet time this morning in my office, and Daniel came through, and I said, you know what, Daniel? You know, I want you to get rid of all my notifications on my watch. I got to practice what I preach. And I said, I'm tired of getting distracted by every little notification. So I didn't know how to turn it off, y'all. Praise the Lord. So I asked my son or my grandson, would you turn off my notifications? Sure, Dad. So he turned them off this morning. So if you try to notify me and I don't get back with you, you know why. I turned you off. Boy, Pastor, you really do turn me off. Praise the Lord. So are you all ready to get into this today? I told you the why. I told you the Bible idea. I told you the big perspective. When I'm too busy, I have the wrong perspective. I don't see like God sees. I don't see my marriage like God sees it. When I'm too busy, I don't see my kids like God sees them. When I'm too busy, I don't see my church like God sees it. When I'm too busy, I don't see my calling and my assignment like God sees it. And by the way, if you haven't gone through the God is for you classes, I'm teaching the first class, the next service at 11 o'clock. Come join me. But when I'm too busy, it seems like I don't have time for God, church, my family, my calling, or my gifting. So the Bible idea is, just as we end this year to prepare for a next year, I want it to be better for you than this year. I, like you, want to make less mistakes, less regrets, less dumb decisions, less hasty speculations, jump to the wrong conclusion. I want to slow down, get still, and get in solitude. Study the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. Study the life of Jesus, and you'll see that he was always withdrawing to a lonely place. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. This is the third part of the Trinity, that he would slow down, and it said he would go to a lonely place, that solitude, and get still before his heavenly Father and pray and spend time. Well, if Jesus needed it, hello, y'all, we all, us-ins, need it. Amen? So let's get into the Word today. James 1, 17, 18, 19. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. God is good, and God is good all the time. Comes down from the Father of lights. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God don't change. God's stable. Of his own will, he begat us. In other words, God didn't need humanity. God wanted a family. God wanted a family. God wanted you and me. Of his own will, God, he birthed us by the word of truth. You can't get born again without hearing the gospel. Well, Pastor, I got led to Christ without knowing a scripture. Yeah, but I'm sure what you heard was in line with the scripture. You can't get born again. This is Bible. This is a Bible idea in the book of Romans. You can't get born again without hearing the gospel. And people are going to hear the gospel tonight. You need to bring them out. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, the gospel, that we would be the kind of first fruits of his creation, his creatures. So notice in verse 18, he talks about the new birth. He talks about getting born again. And right after that, he says to beloved. Beloved in the Bible is always referred to Christians. So the law of first mention, when I was in Bible college, they taught us how to interpret the Bible. That's what they did. And there was a principle called the law of first mention, okay? Here's the law of first mention. Wherefore, my beloved Christian brothers and sisters, first of all, be swift to hear. Law of first mention, speak and slow to be angry. Notice, if I'm listening, then I'll know what to say and I'll know how to respond. Did you all see this? If I know how to listen, then I'll be slow to speak. I won't jump to conclusions. I won't get hung by the tongue. I won't say things I'll regret. And then next, slow to wrath. That's your emotions, anger, malice, resentment, bitterness. I won't respond. My emotions will be under control. My mouth will be under control if I learn to listen to God. Oh, there was a good place for you to praise the Lord right there. So the most important thing as a Christian is not building a business or even building a family. The most important thing as a Christian is learning how to listen to the voice of God. Less regret, less poor decisions, less wrong relationships, less bad business deals, less wrong investments. So here we see from the scripture family that the most important thing you and I can do as we end this year is slow down. Pastor, did you see what I saw on Black Friday? Yeah. Man, did you try to go shopping? One day I was thankful for Amazon. I mean, did you see all the people shopping? You couldn't get anywhere. You couldn't get in the mall. You couldn't get in a parking spot. The traffic was crazy. I mean, I know it's a busy time of the year, but yet I'm challenging you to do the opposite. Winners always do the opposite of what the crowd is doing. I'm challenging you for next year. Now, slow down, stillness, and solitude. Wow. And we'll all have a better year. So the Bible idea is to learn to listen to God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust God from the bottom of your heart and don't try to figure everything out you're going through on your own. Trust God from the bottom of your heart and don't try to figure it all out right now, the craziness that's going on in your life. So what do I need to do, Pastor? Pastor, what do I need to do? What 12-step program? I believe in that. We have that here. But better than that, if I can just teach you how to listen, you won't need that 12-step program. Seriously, if I can teach you how to listen, you don't need Celebrate Recovery. If I can teach you how to listen, you don't need a lawyer. You don't need a judge. If I can teach you how to listen, less regret, less wrong mistakes, control my emotions, right relationships, if we can learn how to listen to God's voice, less counseling, less turmoil, less toxic relations, emotions, situations, if I can just slow down, get still, and learn to listen to the voice of God. Can I have an amen today? This should light your fire. This should light your fire. The doors, come on, baby, light my fire. This should light your fire. This is the answer. But it takes time to do this, and we want a quickie. We want to drive through. We want it now. We want it yesterday. We're in the microwave generation. We're past the microwave generation. Even the microwave, when I'm putting my coffee as I leave in the morning back in the microwave to leave, that thing is so slow. Come on, somebody. It's so slow. I'm sitting there. I put it on for 30. I fix Pastor Kim coffee every morning. I fix breakfast. I get things ready, and then I walk the dog, and the last thing I do is come back in to get a second cup of coffee. And as I do it, I want to warm it up, and I want to put it in the microwave, and I put it in for 30 seconds. And those 30 seconds seem like 10 minutes. What's wrong with that thing? We are the generation that goes way too fast, way too busy. And that's why we have all of our problems. So the answer is to listen to God's voice. That's why I tell the staff, don't build people towards you to depend on you. I don't want any of you depending on me or the staff. I don't want them gathering their own congregation to make them feel good to themselves. Everybody on my staff, and including me, should be pointing you to God, not man. You don't need Google. You need God. And we all should be pointing you not to our own platform, our own ministry, our own thing, being popular, wanting people to need us. I don't want you to need me. Our staff shouldn't want you to need them. We should teach you how to listen to the voice of God. Come on, somebody. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. How much more blunt can I be today? Listen to God's voice in everything you do. Every mistake I've ever done, a dumb old mistake, is because I rushed into it. I did it too quickly. I didn't take time to listen. And what? I paid for it. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who'll keep you. Thank you, Jesus. Keep you on track. Thank you, Lord. So number one, what do, Pastor? Slow down. Number two, stillness. Number three, solitude. God wants to talk to you. How cool is that? God wants to talk to you. Can you say this with me? God wants to talk to me. But if I'm doing all the talking, how can I be listening to what he wants to say? Prayer is more about listening than talking. Well, once we do our petitions, we move in from petitional prayer, watch this now, to devotional prayer. Oh, you missed it. I tell God my needs, and we should. I tell God the petitions, and we should. That's great. That's petitional prayer, telling God what we need, even though he already knows it. We're giving him permission. But you want to move from that into the listening mode. And that's called devotional prayer, where God begins to speak into our heart, and we begin to be changed. God wants to talk to you. Look at this. This is amazing. This is worth coming out December the 1st on a icy, snowy, cold morning. For God speaks again and again. Well, you got the majority of people today that think you're cuckoo when you say God wants to talk to you. But look what the scripture says. For God speaks again and again, even though people do not recognize it. Y'all see that on the screen? See, you know why we have praise and worship for 20 minutes? To get you tuned in so you can recognize the anointing, so you can recognize the move of God. We want revival at Church on the Rock, but some people can't even recognize when God's in the room. So we got to detune you from the world and tune you into spiritual things, and that's what praise and worship is all for, is to get you so you can recognize the voice of God while I'm teaching. So you can discern the anointing, not charisma or a personality. Not somebody famous or popular, but so you can recognize when God's talking. Most people can't even recognize it when he's talking. Think about Eli and Samuel in the Old Testament. God was speaking to Samuel, and Eli, the priest, didn't even recognize it. For God speaks again and again, though people don't even recognize it. Folks, tune yourself up on the way to church so then you walk in here, you recognize the anointing. You participate, you embrace from the front to the back. But you don't wait till the amen at the end and say, well, I think I got something. You want to tune yourself before you ever get here. Because God's talking, but the problem is people can't recognize it when God's talking. Verse 15, he speaks in dreams. He speaks in visions of the night. When deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their bed. Did y'all know there's a scripture in the Bible that says he gives his beloved sleep? It's in Psalm. By the way, I sure do love you. He speaks to his beloved when they sleep. That's Psalm. Now, Dick Mills, who was a Hebrew scholar who's in heaven, was on our board. Dick Mills told me, Dave, you know what that means? It means he speaks to you in dreams. He gives you dreams while you sleep. Not a dream from the pizza you had, but a dream of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So he speaks, but most people can't even recognize it. One person comes in here today, oh my God, Pastor, what an anointed message right now. Word, God spoke to me. There's transition and breakthrough. And the other person, well, I didn't get anything out of it. Whose problem was that? Y'all. Can I just say it at Christmas time? It's your problem. It's my problem. If I go to church and I don't get anything out of it, because I can go to church anywhere, and if my heart's right, I can get something out of it. I can get something. You still have your pastor at Christmas? You're still going to send me a Christmas card? Okay, praise God. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep fall on people as they lie in their beds. Verse 16, look at the overhead. What's it say? Fill it in. He whispers. What is that? Still, small voice. Someone said, the greatest voice of God is silence. The greatest voice of God is silence. What's that mean? When I get silent and still and in solitude and slow down, God begins to whisper. Didn't he do that for Elijah? Elijah was running from Jezebel. Remember the story? I love the story in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah the prophet was running from Jezebel, and he wanted to kill himself. He wanted to commit suicide. He was under a tree. And it said there was an earthquake. God wasn't there. It said fire came. God wasn't there. It said the wind blew. God wasn't there. But where was God? In sheer silence. Where are you and I going to find God for 2025? We're going to find God in stillness, in solitude, in slowing down. And as your pastor who loves you with all my heart, I want you to find God and hear his voice for you and your family and your business and your school for 2025. Can you thank God already for speaking to your heart? Oh, come on. So what happens when he speaks and I'm listening? Change. Wrong to right. Weakness to strength. You see, what's a conversation with God look like? And let me just say this. Boy, I feel the anointing. Let me just say this, that a conversation with God, you know, it's so important because my conversation, golden nugget now, antennas up, recognize the voice of God. My conversation with God determines my relationship with God. My conversation with God determines my relationship with God. Let me go one step farther. And my relationship with God determines my authority. My authority. Doesn't the Bible say in James chapter 4, it says, submit to God, and then you can resist the devil, and he'll run from you. That's authority of the believer. I have no authority without submission. I have no authority without relationship. I have no relationship without conversation. Boy, this is good stuff on December the 1st. I have no authority to bind the devil, cast the devil out, lay hands on the sick, speak to the mountain. Bind the spirit of fear. Overcome the spirit of depression. Come against lack, anxiety, and worry. I have no authority without a relationship. Submit myself to God, then resist the devil. Then he runs off. But I have no relationship without a conversation. And the conversation is more of him talking and me listening. And he does it through sheer silence. It's when I slow down and get quiet. 1975, Kim and I are in Minneapolis, Minnesota. 1975. You think it snows here, move to Minneapolis. Whew. We were in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we had finally said, yes, Lord, whatever the call is on our life. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a pastor. I wanted to be a successful businessman. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to be a millionaire. I said, God, what I'll do is I'll fund the local church that I attend, my family. But I don't want to be a preacher, God. I don't want to be in the ministry. I've seen too many preachers that are weaklings, mamby-pamby, wishy-washy. Well, I don't want to be that. But I'll obey you. So we went off to college. Here we go. And that first semester, I can remember that I was still struggling. God, what do you want me to do with my life? God, a businessman, a commercial artist. I got straight A's in art all through high school. I loved art. I loved drawing. I said, you want me to be a commercial artist, God? You want me to be a bit? What do you want me to be, God? I just whatever you want me to be. Well, it wasn't until I shut my big fat mouth. And one day in chapel, we had chapel every day back then at North Central Bible College, Minneapolis, Minnesota, downtown. And we had chapel every day. And one day after chapel, chapel service was over, and it was a large chapel like this. And everybody had left. And as far as I know, I was the only one left. And they turned the lights down low, and the lights were just over the platform. And I remember I went to the altar, and I knelt, and I said, God, I got to hear your voice. I said, God, I got to hear your voice. This is 1975. I'm struggling with the call. God, what is it you want me to do? See, it's in stillness and solitude you discover your calling. You discover your assignment. You discover your purpose through listening to God. And it wasn't to that moment, that I got quiet and shut my mouth, and I was there for a long time. I don't know how long, but for a long time. And all of a sudden, you know, there wasn't an earthquake, there wasn't fire, there wasn't wind, there wasn't an angel, there wasn't a worship service, there wasn't a choir, there wasn't any of that. All of a sudden, I heard a still small voice, seriously, down here. It said, I want you to be a pastor teacher. Right there. That's where I was called. That's when I knew I was called. That's when I accept the call. But it wasn't until I slowed down, got still in solitude. It wasn't until I began to listen, and notice he makes them turn from doing wrong to doing right in that art of listening and keeps them from pride. You know, I've got to get rid of pride if I'm going to learn to listen to God. There's got to be humility. There's got to be an open mind. In that conversation with God that morning and night, it went from my will to his will. It went from my way to his way. That's what a conversation looks like with God. It went from me changing my stinking thinking and wrong attitudes to God, the fruit of the Spirit, all through listening. The most important thing that you and I can do today is learn to listen to the voice of God. Job 33, verse 18, he protects them from the grave. We're still, God's talking to us through silence. He protects them from the grave, from crossing over to the river of death. Psalm 37, verse 7. Y'all still with me, family? Can you handle this? Isn't this awesome? What's the first word? Quiet. It's in the Bible, y'all. I love you so much. I've been here 41 years. I love this city. I love this community. I've lived here. I'll die for it. I'll end here my life. I want you to have the best year of your life in 2025. But family, me all have got to slow down. We've got to get still, get in solitude. We've got to have the great exchange. We've got to let God talk to us and change us. Not God when you change her. Not God when you change him. Not God when you change them. But God changed me. Quiet your heart. One of the ways that I did that this morning was I had my son get rid of the notifications on my watch. Quiet your heart in his presence and pray. When I get still in solitude, what happens? The presence of God. Quiet your heart. So notice, you and I have to do it. God's not going to make us. Quiet your heart in his presence and pray. Keep hope alive. Oh, my goodness. Hope is restored in solitude. Hope is restored in slowing down. Do you remember I started off this sermon? When I'm too busy, I have wrong focus. When I'm too busy, I'm distracted. When I'm too busy, I have regrets. When I'm too busy, I miss God. Look at this. When I slow down and get quiet, hope comes back in his presence for God to come through you, for you, and for you, and with you. And don't think for a moment that the wicked in their prosperity are better off than you. Oh, what a great scripture. Another one, Psalm 62, verse 1, as the team comes. I stand, look at the overheads, family, help me. I stand. Wow, we saw the word quiet. We saw the word get silent. Oh, my goodness. I stand silently. I want revival in our church. I want every seat full, every parking spot full. I want your family here. I want your friends here. I want your business, the office space. I want it born again. I want your school and your campus. I want change for the better. I want a move of God in our nation. How's it going to come? Solitude, stillness, silence, surrender. I stand silently to do what? To listen for the one that I love. Oh, my goodness. Waiting as long as it takes for the Lord to rescue me. For God alone has become, this is what Christmas is all about, my Savior. Verse 2, he alone is my safe place. I got to get in a lonely place. His wraparound presence always protects me. Wow, in that quiet place, his presence comes in. Fear leaves. Peace comes. Weakness leaves. Strength comes. You mount up as wings as an eagle. Even though there's a bunch of turkeys living there. I mean, no, you don't do that, praise God. For he is my champion defender. There's no visit of failure with God. There's no risk of failure with God. Y'all see that? There's no risk of failure with God. Well, I've failed enough on my own. I need God. I've failed enough on my own. I need God. So why would I let worry paralyze me? Remember our prayer time when we came against fear through David's song? He's our rock and our salvation. Whom should we fear? Whom should we be afraid? In his presence, when I get quiet, I slow down, I get still, I get alone. It's me and God. The fear goes, faith comes, worry leaves, peace comes, protection. I feel him wrapping his arms around me, the psalmist said. So why would I let worry paralyze me? Even when troubles multiply around me. So what's the takeaway? I'm only half done with my message. Maybe I can finish it Christmas Eve, huh? So what do I do? Our takeaway is make the decision. I'm going to, right now when everybody's so busy, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to get in stillness, in solitude. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to tell God what I need. Jesus on the main line, call him up. But I'm going to move from that to real devotional prayer. It's where I'm just listening to his voice. And all of a sudden, transformation comes. Breakthrough comes, my calling comes, my purpose comes, my life changes in Jesus' name. Y'all got something? Give the Lord all the glory today. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Everybody online, if you're watching today and you say, Pastor, I need God. It's not until we need him, but you're watching today. Christians, are you praying under your breath? And you say, I need God. I've had too much failure in my life, failure in my marriage, parenting, raising my kids, choosing the right mate, right school. I have a life of regret. I'm hurting today, Pastor. I made so many mistakes. I want my life to change. I want my life to get better. I need God. I'm tired of living without God. I need God. Pastor, pray for me. If that's you for the first time or a rededication, punch the button on your screen right now. Faith is an act. We love you. We're praying for you. Here in this room, out in the lobby, the Rock Express, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God will never make us or force us, but you say, Pastor, December the 1st, we begin to celebrate the Christmas season. Pastor, I want my life to change. I realize I need God. I've been a failure going somewhere to happen. You just read it from Psalm. Without God, it's a failure. God has called you to an abundant life, a victorious life, not a life without risk, not a life without danger, not a life without problems. But he promised to be with you through it all and help you come out better and bigger. You see, Pastor, I need God in my life today. I want to surrender my life. As we begin to celebrate the Christmas season, like Pastor Kim said, tonight, I need God. Or you say, Pastor, I'm a believer, but I realize I need to slow down. I need to get still. I'm always in a hurry. I'm always rushing for this, rushing for that. I'm running through my one-year Bible. Some days I miss it. I'm so busy. I need to get my life in order. I need to recommit. Pray for me, Pastor. It's you and God today. But you and God are a majority today. I need God for the first time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Oh, I'm going to recommit my life today, Pastor. Raise your hand up boldly right there where you're seated. Every section, put your hand up high. Keep it up there for a few seconds. Christians, are you praying? Let's believe God for 100 decisions every weekend, church. Let's believe God for the non-believer to come to our services and sense the presence of God and the love of God, and that God is for them and not against them. You could put your hand down. Everybody that should have put your hand up didn't put your hand up. So I'm going to give you one more opportunity right now. I didn't, Pastor, but I should have. Here I am. God can have me. I need God. Put your hand up right there where you're seated as I scan the auditorium. Thank you. Online. All right, church, let's all pray this prayer with them. It's in Romans chapter 10. Let's help them today. Here we go, all together. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I repent of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now. I need you in my life. Take my life. Fill it with the Holy Spirit and make a difference. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted. I'm a new creation. I'm in the family of God. I've got a fresh start. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.